is to our God. Every praise, every praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory, hallelujah, is to our God. Every praise, every praise is to our God. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship in one accord. Every praise, every praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah to our God. Every word of worship in one accord. Every praise, every praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory, hallelujah, is to our God. Every praise is to our God.
Because of who you are, I give. You're mighty, that's who you are.
because you're righteous. I worship you because you're righteous. That's who you are. I worship you because you're holy. You're holy. I worship you because you're holy. That's who you are. I worship you because you're mighty. You're mighty. I worship you because you're mighty. That's who you are. I worship you because you're righteous. You're righteous. I worship you because you're righteous. That's who you are. Because of who you are, I give you glory.
Clap your hands before the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I worship you, God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you,
hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. A
wonderful
Savior.
You may be seated if you'd like. You know, that I think I've shared this before, but Jehovah means I am. So when we sing, we worship him for who he is. It is not because of what he's done, and it's not because of all the goodness and the blessings that he has given us, but it is because if he's never done another thing, he died and he made it possible for us to have eternity, for us to be washed of all of our sins. And if he did nothing else ever in this lifetime, he is still worthy, because we worship him for who he is, not what he is or what he's done, but who he is. Though there are so many added blessings that Jehovah Jireh, he's my provider. He is your provider. He is your protector. He is the father to the fatherless. He is hope to the hopeless. And I'm so thankful for whatever we need tonight. He is the I am. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. star. You truly are everything. My treasure, my priority. Who can compare to you? Great is the measure of your royalty. Morning star, you truly are. Morning star, you truly are everything.
Is he your everything? Have you made him your priority? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Life and now we come. Everyone praises to the one who saves us. Through his blood he gave us. Life and now we come. Everyone, hallelujah. saves us, through his blood he gave us life, and now we've come. Everyone praises to the one who saves us, through his blood he gave us life, and now we've come. Everyone praises.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. If the ushers would like to come, and normally we take this time just to greet each other and say hello and tell someone you're glad to see them here tonight. Brother Mike, I think you prayed last time. I'll have Brother Alex today.
Which was and is to come.
You're the Lion.
You're the Lion.
You're the Lamb.
You're the Lamb.
Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Your train.
Your train.
Build the temple.
Build the temple for you are high and lifted up. Your name.
Come on and
lift up the name of Jesus.
Oh yes,
lift up the name of Jesus.
Help me
lift up the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus.
Come on,
lift up the name of Jesus.
Oh yeah,
lift up the name of Jesus.
Come on,
lift up the name of Jesus. Your name.
Tells me wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at that mention of the name, hallelujah, thank you Jesus, thank you Jesus. I'm glad I know the saving name of Jesus Christ. I'm glad I know there's salvation in none other name than the name of Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. I'm glad I know his name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm glad I'm on a first name basis with my Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Feels good to be in the house of the Lord, amen. We're not Jesus only, we're Jesus everything. Bible says, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We praise in the name of Jesus. We sing in the name of Jesus. We baptize in the name of Jesus. We heal in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Bless you for standing. If you would grab your Bibles while you do so. And in the word of the Lord tonight, so good to be in the house of the Lord, to feel the power and presence of God. I hope that you will leave here tonight encouraged, uplifted, strengthened by the Spirit. And I believe that the word of the Lord will be encouraging and uplifting and strengthening. How many of you and all honesty and sincerity can say I experience affliction in my life. Affliction is common to us all. Some of us, as I will state here in a few moments, have an intimate relationship with affliction. We deal with trouble and tribulation, but I believe that I have a word from the Lord for you tonight that will help, that will strengthen, that will encourage you to persevere, to keep pressing on, keep believing, trusting in God. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, begin reading in verse number 17. Second Corinthians chapter 4, begin reading in verse number 17. It says, for our light, everybody say light. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, everybody say a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Draw your attention back to verse number 17, the Apostle Paul writing the church at Corinth. He says, for our light affliction. I love the way the Apostle Paul puts this scripture, how he puts pen to parchment and writes this passage. He says, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. I'm going to paraphrase what the Apostle Paul is saying, and I will do it in four words, and it will be the title of the message tonight. Simply says, light affliction, heavy glory. Light affliction, heavy glory. If you're here tonight and you say, well, Pastor, I got some glory waiting for me. You're in good company. But let's put the emphasis where the emphasis should be. Say with me. Let's put affliction and glory in their proper places. Let's look at what the Apostle Paul did and how he stated it. Someone who was very well acquainted and, shall I say, very intimately involved with affliction. He said it's light. And it's but for a moment. But this light affliction that is temporary, it's momentary, this light affliction, it does something. It worketh for us a far exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Light affliction, but heavy glory. Light affliction, heavy glory. Can we pray, Lord Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you for the opportunity to be here in your house, to lift you up, to magnify your name that is above every name, to give you glory and honor and praise that is so due your name. God, I pray that you would touch the heart and minds of all the hearers of your word tonight. God, that we would leave here encouraged, uplifted in spirit. God, understanding, God, as you placed in scripture, you inspired the Apostle Paul to write the words which he did, that we can learn from it. God, that we can glean from it tonight and be restored and renewed in the spirit of our mind. We love you, we praise you, we thank you. We give you glory and honor for who you are and what you do. In your name that is above every name, in the only saving name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. Everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Light affliction, heavy glory. In our humanity and our spiritual nearsightedness, we have a tendency to exaggerate our problems and minimize our promises. This is not to say that we do not experience trial, troubles, tribulations, for we most certainly do. This is only to say that we often give them a lot more traction than we should. We place a lot more emphasis sometimes on our problems than we do on God's promises. We see our current situation and our current circumstances and we say, wow, I'm afflicted. Man, I'm dealing with some junk. Boy, I'm going through it, Pastor. I'm really troubled. I'm really dealing with some stuff in my life. Well, anybody truly serving God will come to know affliction. Some intimately well. Affliction in the form of trouble and distress and despair and persecution, being perplexed and cast down, it is not the exception, but rather the rule. I'll prove it to you. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 8 through 10, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body. We do deal with distress. We do deal with trouble. We do deal with persecution and being perplexed. And we do deal with being cast down. We deal with those afflictions. Furthermore, and I know I beat up on them quite a bit, but all this prosperity doctrine teaching, the assertion that affliction is somehow indicative of being out of favor with God, is absolutely absurd. In fact, Scripture would reveal just the opposite. Psalms 34:19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Hebrews chapter number 12, verses 6 through 8, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. I think the Scripture is pretty emphatic that affliction is common to us who serve the Lord. Affliction is common to us who call ourselves the children of God. We endure affliction. We endure trial and tribulation. Affliction is simply that which is allowed and or facilitated by God. But it serves a far greater purpose than we even realize. The Apostle Paul is expressing in this scripture, in the passage of our reading, his expression I love because it places the emphasis in the proper place. He says in the adjective or the description of affliction, he says it's light. Our affliction is light. It can be translated easy. Now this is coming from someone who knew a little bit about affliction. This is coming from someone who, in his own words, if you read 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, verses 23 through 28, you will find that he said concerning himself, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep, and journeys often in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold, in nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Talking about affliction. He's enduring some affliction. Whenever I get downtrodden, whenever I start thinking about the stuff I have to deal with, and I start magnifying my problems and the situations, I can go to this verse and say the Apostle Paul dealt with all these things and the care of not just a church, but the churches. He dealt with all these things. He dealt with all these afflictions. And I dare say, though there may be some here in the house that have endured affliction and you may be intimately acquainted with affliction, I dare say you don't have the affliction like the Apostle Paul had affliction. I doubt your resume of affliction would much compare with his. But he said, this is light affliction. Instead of magnifying what most would consider a tantamount affliction, the Apostle Paul calls it light. It was easy. What I dealt with, the beatings, the shipwreck, the perils, all those things, I consider them light affliction. I don't give them much weight at all. I don't give them much credence. I don't give them much comparison because they're just for a moment. They're just for a space of time. If this life is but a vapor and I had to endure affliction my entire life, in the scope of eternity, it's but a moment. It's immediate. It's light by comparison.
comparison, and it's also momentary. It's but for a moment. The word used for moment, and I love this, I research this, the word there in the Greek that is used for the word moment, it's only used this time here in all of Scripture. The only place in all of Scripture that you find this word for moment used, as if the Apostle Paul in writing decided, I'm going to use a word, and in use of that word will kind of give emphasis to how fleeting the affliction is. I've never used it before in writing in the New Testament, but I'm going to use it here. Just in this instance, as if the use of this word itself identifies how momentary the affliction is. It's just a moment. It's a light affliction, and it's just a moment. He is attempting, the object of the discussion is to contrast a light, a momentary affliction with a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. There's a light affliction, but oh, there's a heavy glory. There's a light affliction. What I've had to endure, all those things I've been through, all those things I've endured, they're light. I've quoted this verse numerous times. I love the verse. He says in Romans 8:18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. No matter how grave the affliction might seem, in the grand scheme of eternity, it is but light and momentary. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're dealing with, and please understand, I'm not demeaning your situation, and I'm not saying that your circumstances are of no consequence. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is in the scope of eternity, the Apostle Paul is saying, listen, they're but light and they're but momentary. What you're going through, don't put so much emphasis on it. Don't give it so much traction in your life, because the reality is the affliction that you deal with and what you're going through, it works something. What you're dealing with and what you're going through, you need to understand, he said, it worketh for us. The affliction that you deal with, it works for you. See, one of the reasons why the Lord allows affliction in our life is because it helps to wean us from this world. It helps us to understand that this world and what it has to offer, it's not going to solve my problem. It's not going to give me satisfaction. It's not going to give me fulfillment. Affliction helps me to be weaned from this world and understand that it's only through Jesus, it's only through His power that I can overcome. See, affliction purifies. Isaiah said, as silver is refined in the fire, I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. I can honestly say some of the times in my life where I've experienced the most growth in my walk and relationship with God is when I experienced the most affliction. I look back on those times, and though in the moment I thought, man, I don't know if I can deal with this. I don't know if I can go on. But now looking back, I look at that affliction and say, oh, it worked in me something far more exceedingly great. It had some power that I didn't know. I didn't understand the purpose that God did. I didn't know why He was doing it or why He was allowing it at the moment. But looking back now, I say, oh, what a wonderful thing it was. Because it caused me to mature. It caused me to grow in God. This light affliction that is but for a moment, it works in us. Another way it works is it has us looking to God for consolation and support. It has us turning to God because we realize this journey is too great for me. It has us turning to God because you realize I can't do it on my own. It has me turning to God because I realize there's a way that seems right unto me, but the end thereof is destruction. It has me turning to God saying, Lord, I need you. Lord, I want you in my life to help me through this. Lord, I want you to be my consolation and my support. Affliction works in us because it induces us to contemplate the eternal. It gives us an expectation of heaven, of relief in our eternal reward. See, this is what I believe. Now, you may not believe this, but that's okay. You can be wrong and I can be right. I believe that loyalty is proven in the midst of adversity. I believe. You look at the great revivals that happened that we can even look from a historical basis, and they come on the heels of some great persecution. And I believe that what is happening in our world today, it is the beginning of a great revival. I believe that the persecution that we're enduring and going to endure some more. If you think for one moment that the church, that those that hold up the bloodstained banner, that those who have decided to draw a line in the sand and say we're not compromising, these issues are not up for discussion, we will not give quarter to what you think and your opinion. We look to the Word of God for our guidance. It will be our shield and buckler. It will help us. We will look. If you think that this world is just going to be okay, well, then they will just let you do what you want to do. You are sadly mistaken. Hebrews tells us there is coming a time when everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And in that midst of adversity, there's got to be a church that stands up and says, I'm here for the long haul. It doesn't matter if you don't agree with me. I agree with the Word of God, and it stands sovereign. This affliction that we undoubtedly are starting in, and I see it already beginning, and trust me, it's not going to get easier. It's only going to get harder. What we're going to deal with as the church of the living God, we are going to be persecuted for His name's sake. We are going to endure affliction. We are going to be looked at by the world as the offscouring. We are. It's beginning to happen already because we're so close-minded and intolerant. Because we don't see as society sees. No, I don't see as society sees. I see as the Word of God says. That's how I see it. This light affliction that works in us, it has us, it's working in us as we reach for the reward that awaits. As we press toward the mark, as we endure temptation, as the Apostle Paul said, fight the good fight of faith. As we press forward in the things of God, do not make the mistake of thinking that for some reason living for God is going to become easier. It's going to be full of affliction, but in comparison to the heavy glory, it's light. It's but for a moment, and it's working in us a far more exceeding. It's exceedingly exceeding. It's, we might use the word in our English language, hyperbole. It's almost beyond exaggeration. It is a far more exceeding. As if the affliction that we must endure or have to endure in comparison is but a feather. While the glory that awaits us, the far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory in comparison is as the weight of the world. Our light affliction is but a feather. It's but a moment. How many of us in our right mind, in a natural setting and understanding will not endure the light prick of the needle as a vaccine to a dreadful disease. Catch it. That little momentary affliction, that little momentary sting of pain, that we don't look forward to it. We don't relish going into the doctor and bearing the arm and getting the shot. That's not something we like. But what we do like is not being sick and not being struck with some dreadful disease. I thank God for modern medicine. I thank God that I have the opportunity to go and sometime experience some pain and affliction. But I understand it's not pain just for the sake of pain. It's pain that's going to help me further on down the road. It's something that's going to have a far-reaching effect in my life. So this light affliction, he says, this easy affliction, this momentary affliction, it works in us. And the effects, catch this, the effects of this light, momentary affliction is far more exceeding, and it's eternal. And it's got weight. It's got substance. It's glory. I am so thankful that I've come to know and understand that though I do deal with affliction and though I deal with discouragement and though I deal with being perplexed and though I deal with being distressed, guess what? I know in the grand scheme of things, it's but light affliction and it's working in me a far more exceeding weight, a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. It's as if there really is no comparison. It's as if I have really got to exaggerate in order to somehow bring into scope the contrast between momentary light affliction and eternal heavy glory. Lord Jesus, whatever I have to endure in this life, whatever I have to deal with as a child of God, whatever chastening is required, Lord, let me learn to joy in tribulation. Let me learn to rejoice in persecution. Lord, let me learn how to abide in affliction, because these all work for a far more exceeding and eternal weight. This light affliction, what I'm going through and what I'm dealing with, honey, I'm not diminishing it and I'm not demeaning it. I'm simply saying, in the scope of eternity, there is no comparison. Whatever you got to deal with and whatever you got to go through, if it gets you on the other side, where one day you're in glory, it's going to be worth it all. So, it's amazing how that the Lord turns the attack of the enemy upon himself. It's amazing how the enemy comes in like a flood, but the Spirit raises up a standard again. It's amazing how that when we deal with affliction and we deal with persecution and we come out on the other side, we are overcomers by the blood and the word of our testimony. And we can say, oh, you thought you had me down for the count. I may have hit the mat, but guess what? When I fall, I shall arise. And when I get back up, I'm better than I was before. When I get off the mat, guess what? I'm ready to tie it on again. Bring more affliction. Bring more persecution. It's working something in me. So, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trial of your faith worketh patience. And so when you get trespassed against, and when something happens in your life, and you get affliction, instead of sitting around worrying about it, instead of looking at it from the wrong perspective, and putting emphasis on the problem, why don't you put the emphasis where the Apostle Paul put it? It's but light affliction in comparison to some heavy glory. Say what you wanted to say about me. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So, you see, here's the thing. When we learn this principle and we learn this precept, we're not so scared of what man can do unto us. We're not so fearful of man that can destroy the body. We don't become confined and caged by our perceptions and our fear of what people think about us. Because if they persecute me and they say all manner of evil against me, guess what doing? You're just putting more weight of glory on me. Yeah, I know you think you're giving me affliction, but you need to understand, I serve a God who takes light affliction and He multiplies it after multiplies it till it becomes a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So pour it on me. Give me the trouble. Give me the trial. Give me the tribulation. You're just putting more jewels in my crown. One of these days, I'm going to come before Him and I'm going to cast it at His feet because I've come to understand the sufferings that I dealt with on a temporal basis aren't even worthy to be compared with the glory. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. I'm not minimizing your struggle. I'm just simply saying it's maximizing your glory. I'm going to say that again. I'm not minimizing your struggle. What I'm saying is it's maximizing your glory. When you're going through it and you feel like the enemy's all around about you, and the enemy, they want, as the psalmist said, they want to eat up my flesh, they want to devour me. And when you're dealing with the persecution and you're dealing with the affliction, don't get all downtrodden and don't look at it from the wrong perspective. Say, wait a second, I know there was someone else in the Bible who endured a lot more than I'm enduring. He went through a lot more affliction than I'm dealing with, and yet he had the outlook to say, it's but light affliction, and it's but for a moment, but it's working in us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Hey, brother, hey, sister, I'm not minimizing your struggle. I'm not demeaning what you're going through. I'm simply saying, look at it from the other side of glory. There's something that awaits you on the other side. There's a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. This is but for a moment, but that's forever. What are years in comparison to eternity? If every day of my life was full of affliction, guess what? When I make it on the other side, I'm not going to look back with regret. I'm not going to look back and say, well, I really wish I didn't have to deal with all that. I'm going to be walking streets of gold saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So your light affliction, what you're dealing with and what you're going through, you need to understand it's working in you. And the only reason why you're still in it is because God's doing something in you. Something's working. And I know in our humanity, because I've done it before, hey, God, I'd really like out of this phase. When's phase two coming? Because phase one is not so much fun. Guess what? If phase two isn't till the hereafter, it's going to be worth it. phase two, if I deal with affliction and I deal with these problems and I deal with these struggles and I never seem to overcome or I never seem to be delivered out of it, guess what? His grace is still sufficient for me, and I'll keep pressing toward the mark of the high calling which is in Christ Jesus, and I'll know that this light affliction that is but for a moment, it's working in me a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, and I'll start looking not at things that I can see and not at the circumstances that surround me, but I'll start looking toward the heaven. I'll start looking toward the things that I can't see and know that God is working in me. And this but a feather of affliction is working a far more exceeding weight, a heavy, heavy glory. And we serve that kind of God. And the reason why you're going through it and the reason why you're dealing with it, it must mean God. It's not that you're out of favor with God. It's that you're in favor with God. For he chasteneth those that he loves and he scourgeth everyone. Listen. It's not that our God, some masochistic individual that enjoys your pain and your torment. It's not it at all. But the same God allows affliction in our lives for this moment. He's the same God that's providing pleasures forevermore. So Lord, whatever I have to go through, whatever this affliction needs to work in me, God, help me to be patient with the process as patience has her perfect work. And on the other side, I look back and see, wait a second, that light affliction, wow, God multiplied it and he multiplied it, and now there's a heavy glory attached to my life. Anointing power. Not something that just comes. It's not just a name and claim it. It's not just a blab and grab it. It's an understanding that it's affliction that works a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Some of the most powerful ministers I've ever met in my life have been men that have endured great affliction in their lives. And God has used it. And now they, not their own glory as a man, but their glory in staying in the fight and persevering through the persecution. Thank you. I still hold on to hope that there's a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory that's working. So I won't curse the rain clouds. I'll understand they're bringing sustenance to my soul, and there's going to spring. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My cup runneth over. It's when we're in the valley that we look up and notice the mountain. It's in the valley that we look up and we know, wait a second, God is on my side. God is fighting for me. God is doing something in me. This affliction is working a far exceeding more weight. For it's light affliction and heavy glory. What a trade. Just as you take my trash and you give me treasure. Just as you give me beauty for ashes, just as you give me the oil of joy for mourning, you give me heavy glory for light affliction. So Lord, help me to joy in tribulation. Help me to rejoice in persecution. Help me to understand that I'm blessed when I'm ridiculed. Help me, Lord Jesus, to understand it's working in me a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory.
won't keep me down. They'll just send me to my knees. And there while I'm in prayer, God will give the victory song. I'll be up again.
Devil, you wanted this affliction to bring me to my knees. Well, guess what? It has, and that's where I should have been all along. I should have been on my knees looking towards heaven, saying, Lord, I know you're working in me an eternal weight and glory.
Christ, that the life of him may be evident. Lord, help me to endure affliction as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Help me to endure it.
I'll be up again where I belong.
Falling to my knees in prayer, I recognize
that the battle has already been won. New strength within my soul, I shall arise and reach my goal. I'll be up again, just you wait and see. Rough times won't keep me down, they'll just send me to my knees. And there while I'm in prayer, God will give the victory. So I'll be up again where I belong. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. In the darkest night, the Lord will be my light. I'll be up again, just you wait and see. Rough times won't keep me down, they'll just send me to my knees. And there while I'm in prayer, God will give the victory. So I'll be up again where I belong.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God.
I'm laying it down for the joy.
Hebrews 11, known by many as the chapter of faith. I love what it has to say about Moses. Verse 24 reads, "By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had great respect unto the recompense of the reward." Moses chose to suffer the affliction with the people of God because somehow by faith, Moses, even before Christ came, he chose by faith to suffer the affliction with the people of God because somehow he had the faith that the recompense of the reward, that the light affliction was somehow going to bring heavy glory. I thought about this the other day. Many of us know the story of Moses, how that he, in disobedience to God, struck the rock. He did not go into the promised land. He was buried before they entered in. And I realized something. The other day, Moses made it. When Jesus, catch this, took with him Peter, James, and John, went up to the Mount of Transfiguration. Folks, that's in the Promised Land. And there, beside Jesus, was Moses. Somehow Moses had the faith to believe. Somehow Moses, even before the time of Christ, somehow Moses had the faith to believe that the light affliction that I will suffer with the people of God will somehow work a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And so I'll take light affliction because it brings heavy glory. One more time, can you lift your hands? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Help me to endure affliction as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Help me. For he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Lord, help me to understand that what I'm going through, what I'm dealing with, it's common to man. There is no temptation but such as common to man. Whatever I'm dealing with and going through, I'm not dealing with it all by myself. Lord, you have either allowed it or you facilitated it. And Lord, it's working in me a far more exceeding and eternal way of glory. And for that, I thank you. For your ways are higher than my ways, and your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are your ways above my ways, and your thoughts above my thoughts. And you know the thoughts that you have for me. An expected end. And while you try me in the furnace of affliction, Lord, let it work in me a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. And let me not look at the things which are seen, for they are temporal. But let me look unto the things which are unseen, for they are eternal. And glory in tribulations. One more time, lift your hands, lift your voice. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for fellowship with believers, God. Thank you for encouragement in your scripture. Thank you for the example the Apostle Paul left and the emphasis he placed on light affliction and heavy glory. How wonderful to know you. the way in which you work. We honor you, we praise you, we thank you. We give you glory and honor that is so due your name. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord this evening. You may go in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Please remember, Ladies Prayer International, tomorrow night, ladies, 7 o'clock.